Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. It's a cold day in Indianapolis. I'm Greg Hahn, President of Winthrop Capital Management, and with me is Amy Anderson. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Greg.
And Adam Koons. Adam.
Hello. Hello.
How are you?
I'm here.
Excellent. So you had a good weekend?
I did.
Did you watch the Olympics?
A little bit of it, but I wasn't as closely tuned as I thought I was going to be.
Yeah, I watched the Olympics, and some of these sports I just don't understand.
Right. But it's tough, you know, the rules.
Fun to watch. Anyway, we got a lot to cover. So let's kick off with earnings. We had a big week last week in earnings and a lot of movement in the market, a lot of volatility. A
lot of volatility.
So I'm going to turn it over to you to kind of unpack some of the large tech.
Yep. So like I said, volatility, it was kind of what we've seen this earnings season is that there's a bigger difference between the winners and losers. I think, you know, through 2020 and 2021, if you were tech and you had showed growth, your stock went up. This year, if you're even slowing down a bit, there's a lot of pain. We saw, you know, companies down 20-25% last week. But conversely, we saw plenty of companies, large companies, that were up over 10%. So Alphabet was the first of the week that really kicked things off and gave us a positive tone for tech. Just kind of knocked the cover off the ball, honestly. And it was really led by YouTube advertising, which was $8.63 billion in revenue, which matches Netflix revenue. So a subsect of Google. And then their cloud business actually increased quite a bit, was up 45%. So that kind of puts it in line with Amazon's growth on the cloud side. So they're the number three player in the cloud space, but they are catching ground to Amazon and Microsoft. So really good quarter for Google. Stock was up over 10%, which was about a market cap increase of over $200 billion.
Yep. And to counter that,
Meta or Facebook, however you still want to see it, lost $200 billion in market cap the next day, down 25%. So a much smaller company than Alphabet, but really the earnings were not necessarily that bad, but the forward guidance was abysmal.
Yeah.
Growth in the low single digits, a ton of investment into the metaverse, $18 billion worth. So an enormous amount of investment coming for that. And something that's really unknown. And I think what you're seeing is you're seeing a shift away from Instagram and Facebook towards, we were kind of talking about these really quick snippets of like TikTok and Snapchat where your eyeballs are only captured for, you know, 15 or 30 seconds. So the advertising revenue is just kind of falling off a cliff.
Well, and this is where business model matters.
Yep.
Is the business models for Google, and we'll talk about business models for Microsoft and Apple, but they've got solid business models with recurring revenue, but the ad business in Facebook, which it's a powerful driver for revenue, is peaking, and within their universe, they don't have that whatever they're trying to build with the meta universe and the artificial intelligence isn't completed.
Right.
The unknown.
Yes.
So the question then is it investable?
Yeah, and right now, in my opinion, it's not. And if you look at Facebook has thrived because they set the trend. And so because they were setting the trend, they were able to set their price. Conversely, where Google, Alphabet has succeeded is they don't set the trend. They just kind of adapt to a trend. So, you know, their different platforms can basically just take on it. So you can show TikTok videos on YouTube. So you can just kind of bring it all in without having to actually try to force people to act a certain way.
Yep.
So that's one that's just going to be a struggle for probably a while investors try to figure out what the future of Meta, Facebook is going to be. So I think this one.
So we're out. We sold it out of our models.
Yeah.
How about PayPal?
So PayPal, another one that's been a struggle, and this is one candidly I've been positive on. I've waited for this to turnaround's the wrong word, but to stabilize. So earnings came in at 111, which was slightly short of the 112 that was expected. Revenue came in above expectations at 6.9. But the problem was really the forward expectations. And it was, you know, this is a stock that's expected to grow at 18 to 20% at a top line, and they're forecasting 15% growth. And if you said that in a vacuum, that I'm going to grow 15%, that should be enough. But that this is what happens when valuations get stretched, right?
Right.
Is the expectations have been maximized. And if you fall short even a little bit, that's why you're seeing stocks down 20, 25%.
Well, and we'll talk about that, but it's happening. The volatility increase is a large part, we think, because of the absence of stimulus in the marketplace. So, so there's no safety net.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's just not this propensity to just buy because, like you said, there's no Fed put, there's no just overall stimulus. And then we talked last week about how, you know, personal savings rates have gone back to their pre-pandemic level. So that cushion just isn't there. And then on the chip space, we had Qualcomm last week. 323 was on the earnings, beat estimates by 23 cents. Revenue grew 30%. Really good quarter for Qualcomm. And I think what we're seeing here is they're starting to catch up with some of the backlog. And you heard that from Intel as well. Is they're starting to catch up, but the reality is that this is a growing market that's not going away. So, you know, the era of chips, you know, where they had these big swings, is probably still here, but on a supply side, it looks like it's going to be a more sustainable growth, you know, trajectory for your Qualcomm, your Micron, your Intel, AMD, and it's kind of one of those where they've all kind of been going up.
Yeah.
But overall, like I said, it's been a very divided earnings. I couldn't just say this earnings season and then have one explanation. It's other than it's just been divided because you've had a lot of companies that have done really, really well and shown that their business model can sustain, and you've shown a lot of companies that their valuation was stretched and you know, they may be hitting a brick wall.
And then there's Spotify. So here's the thing. Neil Young did not call and ask to have the Winthrop Capital Management podcast removed from Spotify. So we're safe there. But that's turning into a mess for the company. So their stock was down huge. And they've got the same valuation issues also. So I've been, during the break, I picked up Dave Grohl's book. Dave is the drummer from Nirvana. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the
start of Foo Fighters.
Yeah, lead guitarist, Foo Fighter vocal, you know, songwriter. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he is an amazing artist.
Book is outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just inspired by his candor and the journey he's been on and family values. So that's been pretty cool. So, hey, before we talk about the bond market, let's shift a little bit to talk about the macro piece of this because we talked that a lot of the volatilities in the marketplace because we've removed the blanket, the anesthetic, the comfort that comes from monetary and fiscal stimulus. So these markets now have to fly on their own. At the same time, inflation is accelerating, the pace of inflation. So we're seeing the United Kingdom, the Bank of England, increase rates in December, and then again last week up 50 basis points. So total of 75. So part of what's happening is the market's wigged out about the Fed. And it's pushing rates. So we're expecting 25 basis points. We're not expecting the Fed to take a big stand at this point.
Yeah.
But it's the messaging to the market that is causing a lot of this disruption. And then with that was the jobs report last week.
Yeah.
Very, very strong report. So
good news is bad news, right?
Yeah. And it's true. And also in the COVID affected industries. So we saw it in the hospitality and leisure. And, you know, you look out into the football stadiums, you see these stadiums they're more and more, they're
full.
They're full. So, so that entertainment space is coming out and the numbers are really encouraging from Omicron, the decline.
Yes, yeah.
So what that means then, we saw the unemployment rate dip low again, but the participation rate is still really low.
Yeah.
So with that, the overall trend is a continued growth in the economy is going to put pressure on interest rates higher in the face of uncertainty in earnings. So it's literally competing agendas. You know, there's this headwind between what the Fed's initiative is to raise rates, to curtail inflation, but then not snuff out the economy that continues to grow. So what are you seeing in the bond market?
Well, like you said, you nailed it with the global tightening. So we've seen negative yielding bonds. They hit a peak during the pandemic of $18 trillion. So there were $18 trillion worth of bonds out in the world that were yielding a negative rate. We are down to a five-year low at $4.8 trillion. So that in itself represents that shift in policy. I think the only country kind of sticking to easy policy is China, and they more or less have to at this point to keep their growth up. But you know, we're moving down a path where we're going to see positive rates again, probably across the world.
And then U.S. 10-year.
190. So we're getting really close to that, you know, like I said, that pre-pandemic level.
Yeah.
Which kind of is baseline to 2%. So while the increase has been fairly traumatic this year, to put it into context, is in 2018, the 10-year was at 3%. So we are still...
Yeah,
there's still a lot of room for rates to go up.
Well, in the context too, Adam, is what we're seeing is the Fed start to normalize the policies that went back to the financial crisis. The financial crisis in 2008, 2009 forced interest rates so low, and then these aggressive bond market purchase programs, quantitative easing programs that the Fed put in place, started to unwind from 2017 to 2019. And then because of the pandemic, they basically gave it all back.
Yep.
And so that's what we're really seeing now is that took a long time to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And I think the Fed wants to try to normalize policy. And at the same time, its balance sheet has ballooned to $7 trillion. So think about this is the buyer of U.S. Treasury issuance, right? We're financing a budget deficit through U.S. Treasury issuance. The buyer is the Federal Reserve because of its balance sheet. If they stop purchasing, then that goes into the open market. So monetizing these deficits through Treasury issuance is going to be interesting to see from a rate standpoint,
right?
How that gets absorbed now in the marketplace. So that's
totally agree. There's the benefit. The Treasury is slowing their issuance. But yeah, unless the foreign buyer starts to pick up their purchases, then yeah, we'll probably see rates move higher. At the same time, we've seen credit spreads widen as well. So this is probably the first time it feels like in years since we've seen any meaningful widening. Now, we hit a low of 80 basis points of spread on the index. We're now at 110. So 30 basis points wider, you know, that's a lot. But I would still say 110 is relatively still a historically tight level.
Yep.
But when you match higher interest rates, wider spreads, indexes are not doing well. So this is a tough year for investors because they've gotten used to all green. And now we've got the S&P is down 10% and the Barclays Ag is down 5%. So you're looking at your portfolio this year and saying, what do I do with my money?
Well, and so for next week, we'll talk about the shifts. We're coming up on the halfway point in the quarter.
Yep.
Literally, we're going to be mid-February. So we're going to talk about shifts in our models and then the top five stocks to weather this storm that we're going through. So we got a lot on our agenda this week. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.